Good evening, everybody. So tonight, as always, two questions, and we'll see which one you want to talk about. Nice to see some people on Zoom. I see you, Henry and Daniel. Okay. All right. So let's get started. So question number one. I got one of them is an oldie, meaning I never used it before, but it came to me on Erev Yom Kippur, this Shaila, and I thought it was an interesting Shaila. I don't think I used it before. If I did, you'll tell me. If I did, you'll choose the other one. I got a text from a fellow who lives in the Five Towns, and he had sent me a Gemar Chasima Tova text, and I wished him a Gemar Chasima Tova, and he said, by the way, I do have a question. I just walked into the house. He said, I just walked into the house, and my older daughter, 22 years old, in an effort to fulfill a shidduch segula, is attempting to wash and bench 7 times over Erev Yom Kippur. As such, she keeps washing, eating kzais, and benching in an unending cycle. I told her I thought this might be an issue of bracha levatala. She claims that because there is a purpose to do this, i.e. the segula, it's not an issue. She claims this particular segula worked for a number of girls she knows. Who is right? Okay, that was Shaila number one. Okay, she allowed to wash and bench 7 times in Erev Yom Kippur. Shaila number two. This one came last week, the following email. Hi, Rabbi Leibowitz. I hope you're doing well. Good yar. This is from a young lady, I assume, who I don't know, but you'll see. Seems like a very special person. She writes as follows. I was speaking with a friend tonight, and she mentioned that she often approaches you for halachic shailas. I hope it's okay. I'm reaching out. I know you're very busy. I had the zchus to spend this past Shabbos with a little boy in an ICU unit in the hospital so that his parents could get much-needed respite, since he sadly has been there since May. I have a few questions that came up over the course of Shabbos that I was hoping you could please help me with. So I'm going to skip the first one. My second Shaila is, due to COVID restrictions, the parents only get 2 visitors on their list, and it's very difficult to switch them, and the visitors must be a relative. They added me to the list as a family member, and the nurses often ask what my relationship is with the family. I've hesitated to ask a shayla on this, since I'm nervous I will be told that I cannot lie and continue to go, and the family really needs the respite and the help, especially on Shabbosim. But I'm wondering and hoping that there are leniencies over here. Does halacha allow for such lying? She should have attached her shidduch resume, and I should just like hand it out here, right? This is like, this is impressive, no? This is, all right. Was that inappropriate to say? No? Okay, all right. So Shaila number. Look who I'm asking. All right. So the people who voted for that question last night, that's what I meant. So Shaila number one was, again, the washing and benching 7 times every Yom Kippur. Shaila number two is the lying in order to be able to do Bikur Cholim. All those who prefer Shaila number one, the washing and benching 7 times on every Yom Kippur? Okay, a few votes. do you wait to see? Shaila number two? All those who prefer Shaila number two? Because if... Okay, so I guess it's going to be Shaila number two. Okay. So lying for Bikur Cholim. So, Nu, what are you taina? What do you have to know in order to answer this question? What's the Isser of lying? Is there actually an Isser of lying? Is there a Losa say in the Torah that you're not allowed to lie? Is there? Losa Shakru. What are the... what? Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Very good. Right, there's a lot about lying in the Torah. The question is whether they are formally surim in the conventional sense that apply with only the limitations that every other isser applies. Meaning, what I mean, the limitations every other isser applies, pikuach nefesh. You know, every other isser doesn't apply in the case of pikuach nefesh, right? But is that what it takes to be matir lying, or are there maybe, as we know, there are many, many more leniencies that allow for lying? So we do take it very seriously, but this is obviously an extreme circumstance. This is not the only lying shaila I got this week. I got another shaila just last night. Someone texted me that his wife was advised by her obstetrician that before she gets pregnant, she should get her booster shot. That it's better to do it before you get pregnant rather than while you're pregnant. It's the obstetrician thought that that was the safer thing to do. She got her second dose 5 months ago, not 6 months ago. So she's not yet eligible for her booster shot. She's 1 month short of eligibility. Now, if any of you want to get a booster shot, here's what you got to do. You go into any CVS and you say, hey, can I have a shot? And they say, sure, no problem. And they give you a shot, meaning like they'll say, you know, you have to verbally confirm that, you know, you're eligible. Yes, I'm eligible. And they'll give you the shot. They don't care. Nobody cares. No one is looking. So are you allowed to lie? And that's but you do have to say the lie because they have to go through the process of having you lie to them. They say, please lie to me, and then you lie to them, and then they go on. So you have to go through. So like, what exactly is the issur to lie? So and especially over here, it's like a very like acute, you know, painful situation where this family, you know, I don't know if you should ever know from such things, but if you're ever involved with families that are going through like a major illness of part of the nuclear family, it takes over a person's entire life, takes over the whole family's entire life. The other children struggle. The parents don't have time to breathe. They can't. So to have that respite, to have that person who's willing to go and be with the child over Shabbos and the child is comfortable with, and you know that's really something. And you also have to figure out like what's the reason for this gezeira that the hospital made. Like why can it only be a family member? Like what's the inyan that it can only be a family member? And are you putting people at greater risk because of this? Meaning if you say, so I thought maybe it could only be a family member because it's a COVID restriction, that they're concerned that it should be people who are exposed to only the same group of people. And if you're outside the family, you're exposed to, but you could say, I'm the second cousin. Oh, okay, that's a family member, second cousin's a family. Like, you don't have to live in the same house. That's not the rule. Unclear why it has to be that it's only a family member. So let's discuss a little bit about the issur to lie. There is a wonderful piece on essay on lying in Rav Daniel Feldman Shlita, wrote a number of svarim in Hebrew and English. They're all great. The first sefer he wrote in English is called The Right and the Good. All of his svarim are about Ben Adam L'Chavero. He has this incredible knack of seeing the entire world through the prism of Ben Adam L'Chavero, he did a siyum in yeshiva once on one of the Siddarim. I think it was maybe Seder, must have been Seder Nezikin, but maybe it wasn't, no, maybe it was Seder Kadshim or something, like, and he explained how every Masechta really relates to Ben Adam L'Chavero, like throughout the whole, because like if you put on the Ben Adam L'Chavero glasses, all you see is Ben Adam L'Chavero. So he has beautiful, beautiful essays on Ben Adam L'Chavero. So he has an essay on lying, on when it's mutter to tell a lie, when it's asur to tell a lie. So in that essay he discusses, you know, we try to categorize Yisurim as either Yisurim Ben Adam L'Chavero, Ben Adam L'Makom, or sometimes Ben Adam L'Atzmo. Ben Adam L'Atzmo would be Midos, right? So what is the Yisur of lying? So on the one hand you would think Ben Adam L'Chavero, because you're harming someone else by telling a lie to somebody else. Or it might be Ben Adam La'atzmo, it's just basic midos, that you're just lying because you have no sensitivity for the truth. So that's his chakira. Is it an Isra Ben Adam L'Chaver, or is it an Isra Ben Adam La'atzmo? Is that a fair chakira to have? You know, the Minchas Chinuch has a chakira, mitzvah lam gimel, whether kibud av ha'eim is a mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chaver, Ben Adam L'makom. And what's the real answer? Like, really, 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 when it comes down to it, what's the real answer? Both. It's both. It's really both, right? It's got to be both. It's primarily Ben Adam L'Chaver because it's with another person, right? But most often when you have a chakira in that meaning mitzvos aren't obligated to fit into our categories, right? They don't have to fit into one or the other category. There's no such requirement that Hashem said that a mitzvah has to fit these categories. It happens to be that they often fit these categories, and we have ways of categorizing mitzvos. So the real answer, telling a lie, is it Ben Adam L'Chaver or is it Ben Adam L'Atzmo? Obviously both. Right? If it's harmful to somebody else, then it's Ben Adam L'Chavero. If it's just that you have no sense of what the truth is, then it's Ben Adam L'Atzmo. Nafkaminas would be, what if it doesn't harm anybody? So in the Yerayim, in Simon Reish Lamed Hei, he says it's only Asur Midrabanan if it doesn't harm anybody. It wouldn't be in Issur D'Oraisa. Rav Yerucham Fishel Perlau, in his commentary in the Smag, suggests that it's not even Asur Midrabanan if it doesn't harm anybody. How do you justify that it's not in Issur D'Rabanan? Because he must understand that the whole Issur is Ben Adam L'Chavero. Oh, and the Yerayim must understand that on a D'Oraisa level, it's been on the chaveru, and the midrabanan, it's been on the la'atzmo. Most rishonim hold that it's aser anyway, even midaraisa. The Arakhtana points out that the lashon of midvar sheker sounds like any untruth. Midvar sheker, anything is included if it may cause harm, or even if it doesn't cause harm, that that it's going to be included in the iser. So that's the idea of. That's the idea of ben al mechaber ben al asma, or another nafkamina might be just to expose yourself to things that are not true, right? I mean, just to listen to lies. You hang out with liars all day, so you're not telling a lie. So ben al mechaber, you're not doing anything. But ben al asma, if that has an impact on your neshama when you surround yourself by lies all the time, let's say you have a particular political affiliation. So you turn on the news station of the other political affiliation, you hold that everything you're watching is lies. So so that would be aser, because that's been on last way you're causing yourself to be desensitized to the truth. Although with politics, that's not what happens usually. Usually you're just yelling at the TV and throwing things at it, whatever it is, because that's how crazy people are in this day and age. Okay.
Both sides are lies.
They're all lies, yes. Another nafkamina, what if the lie is completely benign? It's not even really misleading. It doesn't do anything, yeah, except for the fact that it's just not true. I'll give you an example. I always give this example. I was once on a vacation with my wife in the year 2002 in Arizona, which to this date is the nicest place I've ever been in this country. You're from Arizona? So what's the nicest place in Arizona? Exactly. So we were in Sedona, the nicest place. And what do you do when you're in Sedona? You hike, or you go jeeping. We went on like this jeep ride. Yeah, I'm a tourist, all right? So we went on this jeep ride. Where in Arizona are you from?
Scottsdale.
Wow, not even Phoenix. Wow, nice. So we were on this this jeep ride in Sedona. Gorgeous. It's like it's red rocks everywhere. It's just beautiful. And like, it was one of these friendly things. Like, there were a whole bunch of other tourists on the back of the Jeep with us, and they do this whole thing. Oh, everyone go around, say your name, and, you know, introduce yourself. And it was like, this is so not my style. Like, I have stranger anxiety. I don't like talking to, you know, to strangers or whatever. Like, I'm just not a friendly person. My wife is like always happy. Oh, talk to everybody. Yeah, like I just want to hide in a corner somewhere. So like, you know, I knew what would happen. They're gonna say, "What's your name?" I'm gonna say Aryeh. They're gonna be like, "Oh, what kind of name is that? Oh, it's a Hebrew name. Oh, you're Jewish. You're Israeli. What do you do?" Like, I just didn't want to go down that whole road. I wanted to be like So they said, "What's your name?" I said, "Dave." Okay, that was it. What do you do? Teach. Okay, fine. And, you know, one word answers, and that was it. Of course, later in the ride, you know, they were like, "Hey, Dave, look at this." And I'm like, not turning around because I don't respond to Dave. So my wife is like, "Dave, you gotta turn around." But is that an isser? If it's an isser on the atzmo, then yeah, then it's asr to do that. It was 2002. It was before I got frum. So if it's been on the chavero, I didn't hurt anybody by doing that. No one was harmed. No animals or people were harmed in the in this experiment. Everything was perfectly fine. There are other nafkaminas as well. Rav Feldman also discusses the idea that you're allowed to be mishanim mipnei hashalom, right? That's the Gemara tells us that you're allowed to be mishanim mipnei hashalom. It's a Gemara Maseches Yevamos and Daf Samechei. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Mishum Rav Lezer Rabbi Shimon Mutzel." I have a typo here, but whatever it is, mutzal shanos b'dvar hashalom. Shenemar, how do I know that it's mutzal shanos b'dvar hashalom? Because the pasuk says avicha tziva kosam el Yosef anasana, that the brothers tell Yosef, "You should know, Yaakov said, our father said, you got to be nice to us." And he never said that. He didn't say anything. But they wanted to keep shalom, and they needed to lie. They thought that they needed to lie in order to keep the peace. Or the Gemara tells us Godel Hashalom Shaf Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shinabo. Demei Karaksiv Adonizakein Ulbsov Ksiv Vanizakati. Even Hashem lied for the sake of Shalom Bayis, because when he goes to Sarah, Sarah says, "How could we possibly have children? Vadonizakein Avram is so old." Hakadosh Baruch Hu reports that back to Avram and says, "Oh, Sarah said Vanizakanti." So even Hashem lies. Chosam Hashalom Hakadosh Baruch Hu Emes. Hashem is all about the Emes, and even he lies in Bnei Hashalom. So Rabbi Feldman points out, Yesh Lachar. What is the vart that Mishan of Bnei Shalom? Is it that Shalom is docha emes because Shalom is more chashuv than emes? Or is it that it doesn't have a shame sheker b'chlal? That it's not even called a sheker when it's Shalom. Nafkamina would be, should you go out of your way to lie for the sake of peace? Meaning, is it like a mitzvah to be Mishanim Bnei Hashalom? Because it's just not a sheker. It's not even a shinoi. It's not considered a shinoi at all. You're just creating Shalom. Or is it that there's a dechiyah over here, and therefore it's not like kutra, it's a dechiyah over here, and therefore you should not go out of your way to be Mishanim Bnei Hashalom. What example do we have of someone who went out of their way to be Mishanim Bnei Hashalom? Aron HaKohen, right? Aron HaKohen went out of his way. The Avos Rabbi Nassim, Pirkei Avos, says that he would go and tell people, oh, so-and-so really wants to, you know, make amends with you and make peace with you. He didn't. He never said that. Then he would tell the other guy the same thing just to make shalom between them. He went out of his way to be Mishanim Bnei Hashalom. He didn't have to do it. He could have just, you know, do what most of us do when two people are arguing and just stay out of it. It's not my business. I'm not going to get involved. But he didn't. He got involved. So that would indicate that it's like a mitzvah l'shanos Bnei Hashalom. If it's still called a sheker, it may be only a reshus, but not a chiyuv. If it's not even a sheker, then it could be that it's a chiyuv to preserve shalom. The Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia tells us, Amar Rabbi Domer Shmuel, Bahani Tlas Mili Abdi Rabbanan De Mishana Bimilayu, that there are three things that Rabbanan are allowed to lie about. You know, and it doesn't mention on the list of three things, it doesn't mention shalom. We'll get back to what the three things are, but it doesn't mention shalom. So the Nemukah Yosef writes that, yeah, because those three are only optional, being Mishana Bnei Hashalom is a you have to go out of your way to be Mishanim Bnei Hashalom. That's not obligation. Ooh, so that's instructive for us. That apparently there's some, when you have a value that's greater than MS, and no one's going to be harmed by telling the lie. So you're not violating Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. So you are doing something that's inherently a greater Ben Adam L'Atzmo. You're doing something that's greater than Emes. It could be that that value becomes a mitzvah, a chiyuv, and not only something that's a heter. But at the very least, there are many values that are, some values, shouldn't say many, some values that are greater than Emes, and that become mutter in those circumstances. Another nafkamina, whether it's a mitzvah or mutter, is it better to limit the lie? The Rambam's lashon, v'hosav v'gara. What does he say? The Rambam seems to suggest not to lie outright because it's still sheker. Even the term mishanin that the Gemara uses, it doesn't say Meshakrin Nipnei Hashalom, it says Meshanim Nipnei Hashalom. Sounds like, you know, change it up a little bit, do something a little, but don't say like an outright sheker. An outright sheker, even a person should avoid. The Ramban ala Torah seems sensitive to this when he explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't completely lie to Avram, because Sarah was hesitant about her own age as well, says the Ramban. When he says, oh, she said Vanizakanti, she did say Vadonizakain, but she also was thinking at the same time, Vanizakanti, that I'm too old for this also. So therefore, the Ramban assumes that it wasn't a total lie. It was just somewhat misleading. The Chalkas Mechokek and the Sarin Eben Ezra and Simas Samachay writes that Kalana V'Chasuda would not include blatantly lying about a blemish. What do I mean by that? The Gemara in Ksubas, in the second part of Ksubas, says, Ketzan Rakhtin L'Fnei HaKala. I imagine the Amoraim were singing when they said it, but it's just, or the Tanaim were singing, but they said, Ketzan Rakhtin L'Fnei HaKala. What they meant is not like, you know, two steps in, three steps out. Like, you know, they weren't asking for dancing instructions. They were saying, like, what should you say when you're Misamei Chasen V'Kala? Because there's a mitzvah to be mesameh chasam v'kala, right? What did Chazal say? Anyone who's nana misudas chasam v'kala and is not mesamcham, not such nice things, right? You're supposed to be mesameh chasam v'kala. It was interesting. I went with my wife and my mechutanim the other night to check out a wedding hall, and my daughter-in-law came also, and future daughter-in-law, and she said that she had just learned in school that day there was a wedding going on in the wedding hall that we were not invited to, but we just went to meet with the people. And she said she just learned in school that day that if you're Nena from Mesudas Chasam Vekali, you have to go dance with them. So I was saying, I'm hungry. She's like, well, be careful if you eat anything, you know, then you're going to have to go dance with the Chasam. He doesn't even know you. You know, so like, guess what? I'm here. Like, who are you? So it's interesting ha'ara. But the Gemara says, case of Raglan Ve'akala, the Gemara says that the Machlok's Besham Besila, right? So the Beshame says that you say, that Besila says you say Kalana V'chasuda, and that's typically what we sing, right? That a woman is a Kalana, that you say to the Chasan, she's beautiful and she's wonderful and she's, graceful and everything, all the wonderful things. And the Beshame says, no, you say Kala Kamoshihi, which means you don't actually say those words, Kala Kamoshihi, you give an honest assessment, you know? A little short, not so smart, whatever, you know, but okay, slightly above average in whatever, you know, in Midos, you know, you just give the honest assessment of what she is. So that's how Beshame says. And we pass like the Beis Hillel, they say Kalina v'chasuda. I remember at my brother's wedding, one of his chaverim, Shragi Goldenhirsch, said to him at the chas, I remember he screamed to him at the end of the wedding, Kalina v'chasuda, and I pass like the Beis Hillel. You know, that was his way of being Mesameh Chasim. But the Kalana v'chasuda would not mean even though we say Kalana v'chasuda, Al-Chalkus M'chok says, but you're still not allowed to tell an outright lie. Meaning, she is not v'chasuda, obviously to him. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and a lot of other things are in the eye of the beholder also, whether someone's a nice person, a kind person, a good person. That's also, you know, different people judge these things differently. So that's also not a lie. But to say, wow, I can't believe she's 6 feet tall, and she's not, you know, that you're not allowed to do that. That's an outright lie. So you're not allowed to say a blatant lie. The Sefer Chassidim says that if somebody asks you for money and you have, but you don't want to give it, you're not allowed to lie, because the Hetter Mipnei Shalom is only in the past, but not for the present or future, which is also interesting. That would put a limit on Meshad Mipnei Shalom. Essentially, but in Shari Tshuva, he goes through 9 levels of Sheker. In Shari Tshuva, Ben Yonah, Chel Gimel, Osios Kufayin Ches to Kuf Pei Vav, he goes through 9 different levels of lies, from most severe to least severe. But they're all problematic. It's just question of, you know, how big of a, because that's part of the assessment over here. You have to say, how big of a lie is this in order to determine whether the benefit of being able to stay with the child overrides that lie. So he goes through 9 levels of lies. The first level, he says, a lie that causes harm or loss to another person. Is this that kind of lie? Certainly not, right? She's not harming anybody. She's not causing anyone a loss. She's just trying to be able to say that's included in Losa Shakru. So someone says Losa Shakru is the Yisra Daraisa. That says Rabbeinu Yonah's Losa Shakru. The other 8 levels are not. Only when you're actually causing harm or loss to another person. Second level is you're not causing harm right now, but you're setting them up for future harm. You're a con man. So what do? You act all friendly toward the person. You tell them all these lies about, you know, your great successes in business so that they can invest with you, and, you know, whatever it is that you're setting up. You're not doing the ask right now. You're setting it up for like weeks in advance. I'm not like giving lessons on how to be a con man, but like, you know, and then at some point, you know, they're gonna give you something. So that's the second level, that you're not, it's not harming them immediately, but it's with the attempt to swindle them eventually. Third level is that it's not causing them a loss, but it prevents them from realizing an advantage or a profit or something. In one of the contemporaries from, they give an example, like 2 students are tied for the highest GPA, so they have to decide who's going to be the valedictorian. So student A tells another student, do me a favor, go over to the dean and tell him that the other student is such a tzaddik, they'd be terribly embarrassed to be valedictorian, that they don't want to be valedictorian. So you're telling a lie just to rob them of some advantage that they would have. Not a loss, but some other advantage that they would otherwise have. A fourth level is to deliberately misstate something that you heard, even when there's no advantage, you know, to you or to anybody. Nobody's suffering from harm, but it's worse in a way, because you don't gain anything either. And if you're gaining nothing, nothing from it. So what are you doing? You're just showing a total lack of sensitivity to the truth. Ooh, so now, in our case, is this any of these kinds of lies yet? Not harming anybody else, not future harming anybody else, not causing anyone to lose out on an advantage in the future, not doing something for no reason. You are gaining an advantage to have access to the ICU to be able to be with this with the child. Fifth level. Offering to do a favor with no intention of doing it. You know, the example it gives in this book resonates a little bit. Wife says to the husband, "I'm going out to PTA right now. Please clean the kitchen while I'm gone." And you say, "All right." So that's a good way to end that conversation, and she'll go. So if you have no intention of actually doing it, you're not allowed to tell that lie. The sixth level, and again, this obviously is not that example either. The sixth level is saying that you're going to do something, intending to do it, but then not following through. That's hinshel chad tzedek. When you say that you're going to do something, you have to actually do it. That when you say yes, it means yes. However, in that case, obviously at the time that you're saying it, you have to mean it. This is that even if you meant it, you must follow through, otherwise it becomes retroactively a sheker, that if you don't follow through. But that's only required if you either said that you promised, you said some lashon of a promise, or it was a small enough favor that the person would have no reason to believe that you wouldn't follow through, or that you said it barabim. Because when you say something barabim, what they say, if you want to really stick to a resolution, a New Year's resolution or whatever, say it in, tweet it. Say it if you have actual followers. Say it when people will hear you. Say it so that the whole world, your whole family, say it around the Shabbos table. So you say, "I'm swearing off cookies." So next time you take a cookie, your brother, sister, mother, father, son, daughter will say, "Hey, wait a second, you swore off cookies." So now you have to live up to it because there are other people that heard you say it. The seventh level, indicating to somebody that you did them a favor. Someone says, "Oh, I have a date tonight," and you say, "Oh yeah, I'm on your shidduch resume, so you're welcome." And they never called you, and you didn't speak to anybody, and you just give them the impression that you helped them out get that date. Eighth level, praising yourself for things that are not true. "I literally support the entire Mossad." You give a $180 check once a year, and the ninth level, lies that people say for convenience or pleasure, but doesn't harm anybody. Mom asks the child, "What time did you go to sleep last night?" He says, 9:30. Okay, it doesn't hurt anybody, but it makes his life much easier, to say that. So that's the ninth level of lie. Is this any of those? It's nothing. It doesn't fit any of... Rabbeinu Yonah tried... just think about what he did. Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva tried to come up with every type of lie a person can tell. And that would be usher. And he couldn't come up with this one, where you're doing it because you want to do a great mitzvah. Nobody's going to be harmed. People are only going to be helped. Right? He didn't come up with this one. By its absence, you get the impression that even though it's not shalom per se, but it fits into that category of the kind of lie that one would be permitted to say. However, even in cases that it's mutter, where we said, Chazal tells, you're allowed to be Mesharim Nei HaShalom, you're allowed to say Kalina V'Chasuda even if she's not. The Gemara Bava Metzia says that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to lie about how much he's learned, about which bed he slept in, about where he was, how well his host treated him, different things like that. The Gemara Bava Kama says you're allowed to lie to protect money from theft or from extortion. But these aren't the only exceptions, these are examples. When you have values that rise to these levels, and you're not in any of the nine categories of Rabbeinu Yonah's lies, then mistam it's mutter. However, even when lying, even when it is mutter, the post can point out a number of limitations. First of all, and Chafetz Chaim has this in his farm as well, that first of all, it has to be that there's no other way out, that there's no other way to finesse the situation. So if you're able to say, if the nurse says, "How are you related again?" And you're able to say, "Look there, it's a plane." And the nurse is like, "Wow." And that's it. And the conversation's over. Good. So you finesse the situation, you're out of it. And you didn't have to tell a lie. If that's not possible, you minimize the lie as much as possible. Anochi, Esav b'charecha. Right? And that way, you've minimized the lie as much as you possibly can, because it's words that could be true. It happens to be, I didn't read the end of the girl's Shaila. She said as follows. is it better to change the subject when nurses and doctors ask? She was mechavein to the first thing to do, right? The best thing to do. The next line, I usually say I'm his mom's cousin and hope that all of Am Yisrael being related in some way makes it less of Gnevas Das. She was mechavein to the second one. Anochi Yesu B'Charecha. Told you she should have attached a resume, right? This is pretty impressive, right? That's exactly what she should do in that situation, Lenius Daiti. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful evening. Take care.
The nurse is not Jewish, does that make it less of an issue anyway?